The Art Show on Fresh Air Radio, Thursdays at 3 p.m. A taste of all the culture Edinburgh has to offer, from theatre to literature, from film to the visual arts. Here we go. Welcome to a brand new semester of Fresh Air and a new iteration of The Art Show. I'm Maisie, the host of this show and the head of arts for Fresh Air for 2020-2021. If you're listening live, you'll have just heard our little jingle reminding you that you are indeed listening to The Art Show. As we are not in the studio right now, we have a slightly less immersive radio experience. I'm joined in the Zoom studio by the wonderful culture editors for the student newspaper. Would you like to introduce yourself, culture editors?
Yeah, sure. I'm Erin. I am the art editor. And I'm very excited. I've got a wealth of arty events to share with you all this afternoon.
That is very good to hear.
I'm Al, the literature editor, and unlike Erin, Edinburgh's literary scene seems to be very lacking in content this week.
Yeah, I'm Cam, theatre editor, and very similar problem. There doesn't seem to be much theatre going on at the moment, so we are finding all the online things possible.
I do feel like COVID has kind of decimated cultural journalism for us all. If any of you have listened to The Art Show before, I'm sure you guys have because you've been on it, you will remember this particular segment. The student newspaper will join us every week to give us our weekly roundup of all things Edinburgh culture. So let's start with Cam. What's going on in theatre this week?
Well, there is an ongoing... Basically, the Traverse Theatre have actually been quite good over the course of lockdown, etc., to keep content coming out. The current one they've got is called Tools for Change, which is digital reimaginings of three plays from their Theatre archive, which explore racism, censorship, power and identity. And they're essentially film performances of each play that are released throughout October through their Traverse Theatre website, which is part of their Traverse Festival. And basically what they've done is they've set up a section of their website called Traverse 3. So they've actually got Traverse 1 and 2, their real theatres, but they've got Traverse 3 now, which is meant to be a dedicated space for their online content. And essentially you can find all sorts of things on there that are running throughout the year and into the future, actually. So this one particularly is running until the 28th of November, and you can access the playtexts for these three plays as well. So you can actually, if you were so inclined, you could read them through yourself, you could read them through with your friends perhaps. But it's also available to students and staff as well until 2023, so it's got scope for being used in teaching and things like that as well. And also it's a bit of a record of this kind of strange period in theatrical history, I would say. So that's what's going on at Traverse Theatre right now. There isn't actually, unfortunately, very much else happening this week.
No, I know a lot of the theatres are closed and remain closed, but it's very cool what Traverse are up to, actually. I saw something on their website about a visual podcast as like a new way of exploring theatre online, and I just thought it all sounds quite interesting.
Yeah, they to be fair, Traverse do seem to be really kind of throwing themselves into it, into the new world in which we are in, which is good, because it must be really difficult for a lot of theatre companies to do that, especially with like budget constraints and infrastructure issues. And Edinburgh's just been a bit of an odd place, to be honest, without theatre for the last few months.
But yeah, without the Fringe has been really, really odd.
Without the Fringe... It's been very strange. It's been very strange being a theatre editor without a Fringe.
Theatre editor with no theatre.
Yeah, crazy.
So, Erin, how about in the art world? Are things looking a little better?
Well, I am pleased to say, Maisie, we actually do have some in-person events available from the art world. So I will kick off with a bit of an institutional one, but the National Gallery of Modern Art, the Modern One, which is somewhere I'm sure a lot of us have been, they are actually running an in-person exhibition featuring Scottish artists, including Katie Patterson. And she's quite interesting because her work, I went to the exhibition the other week actually, and it looks at the kind of intersection between science and art and existential questions. So one of the exhibits involved actually kind of translating a Beethoven piece into Morse code, beaming it to the moon, reflecting it off the craters in the moon and beaming it back, and it was a slightly different piece, and then playing that on a Yamaha piano. So if you're interested in a little bit more kind of conceptual exhibitionist art, then that's a really, really good one to go and have a look at.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And they're running it with 1 hour slots. Obviously, bring your mask, book ahead. But it's quite interesting as well to have a one-way system through an art gallery, because there's obviously an angle there that kind of could be argued it really impacts how you take in the art when you're on a bit of a time limit. So if you want to kind of get even more conceptual with it, you can question how our perception of art is altered by one-way systems in the gallery space.
Sounds like a feature to me.
It does, it does. And luckily that is running until January the 10th, 2021, but it remains to be seen whether the gallery will stay open to see that through. So I recommend getting involved with that one. Get it while it's hot. Another kind of interesting in-person exhibition that we've got, the City Art Centre reopened really, really recently, and they are running an exhibition called Bright Shadows, Scottish Art in the 1920s, again until June 6th, 2021, so a longer running one. And this is fun, I thought, mostly because despite it being their first exhibition since reopening, the kind of time period that they're looking at, the 1920s, obviously the centenary year of the Roaring Twenties, is quite topical, seeing as I think we all perhaps had slightly different ideas for how this decade would be playing out for us now.
To put it lightly, yeah.
Yeah, kicking off in the same style with a depression. But yeah, that one's interesting. It's looking at kind of post-war painting. And again, it's Scottish artists, which is really, really fun and really important. And I think if you're lucky enough to be in Edinburgh right now, there's nothing better than looking at Scottish artists themselves.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, it's a nice thing to do. And it definitely makes you feel more connected to the city if you are here in a time where it's increasingly feeling more disconnected as the pandemic rages on. But the last one I wanted to talk about, and I think the one that I'm most interested in personally, is an online event. It's free and the tickets are on Eventbrite. It's run by Collective Gallery and it's called Not Going Back to Normal. It's at 6 p.m. on Thursday the 8th of October. And it's essentially a kind of an hour long talk from a group of disabled artists who are putting forward a gallery manifesto considering how arts in Scotland should look in a post-pandemic era. So looking at things like how we digest art is changing. Are we looking at it as a way to kind of supplement mental health in trying times? Do we even need a gallery space anymore? Because online exhibitions are obviously seeing a real uptick. So it's kind of throwing out quite a few interesting questions relevant to what's going on right now and looking at the pandemic in a way of kind of seeing it as maybe a sort of touchstone for change in the arts. And as I say, it's free, so that's always a bonus, but something that seems quite interesting if you care about the future of arts in Scotland.
That's really, really cool. I really appreciate how much the Edinburgh visual arts scene has steered into the skid with COVID. It seems like they're popping up with all of these exhibitions and asking questions about the world that we are currently living in.
It's definitely offering a bit of a cultural stimulus, if nothing else, and I think there will be an output from it.
Yeah, very, very amazing. I'm really interested in that one at the Modern One. I will take a look at that.
I've actually been twice to that exhibition and really enjoyed it. At first I was a bit sort of off about it the first visit because I thought it was a bit too conceptual, but then for some reason I really got on board with it the second time. I really enjoyed the Moonlight Sonata piece that you talked about.
Yeah, there we go. Culture editor recommended, guys, so definitely go take a look. Al, would you like to tell us about what's going on in literature, if there's anything at all?
Yeah, so Edinburgh specific, I didn't find that many things, but I'd really like to talk about Lighthouse's Pay It Forward scheme, actually. So they have this pot that relies entirely on donations. So for those of us who have found new books to be quite expensive, perhaps inaccessible, you can purchase those books using this donated pot. And then when, if you come to run into money more, further down the line, you can put some money back in the pot and keep the community growing.
What a lovely idea.
Yeah. So actually, funny, we're on Fresh Air right now. I'm actually going to talk about a Fresh Air show. It's run by Jasmine Webster, who is a third year English literature student. The show's called Webster's Dictionary. It runs bi-weekly on Sundays. The coming Sunday, she's talking about Jean Rhys's Voyage in the Dark. So previous shows have focused on like the cult TV show Twin Peaks and the singer Arthur Russell. So she talks a lot about culture. But the book, she's talking about its post-colonial legacies, the complex racial politics included in the novel, So yeah, tune in if you want to know a bit more about Jean Rhys. And then this one was a bit of a curveball, less Edinburgh, but I know that friends have partaken in this and really enjoyed it. So there's No Name, who is an American rapper and poet, runs a monthly book club, which is meant to be amazing. And you can partake in that over Zoom calls. You can actually just read along on your own if you want to. They give you questions on the website. But for this month in October, they're reading Prison by Any Other Name, which came out this year by Maya Shenhua and Victoria Law. So it's talking about the prison system in America as sort of like mainstream public opinion is turning against mass incarceration now. So it's talking about the alternatives to imprisonment, but also the flaws of these reforms.
Cool. I like that. I think in this time, actually, it's kind of good to look away. I know Erin was saying it's nice to do things in Edinburgh and feel more connected to the city at this difficult time, but there's a lot to be said for looking outward and experiencing things that you might not have looked for if everything in Edinburgh was open.
Yep.
So, guys, make sure that you look at what the Travis Theatre has to offer. Make sure you go to the Modern One exhibition and check out Webster's Dictionary on Fresh Air. So, final question then. The theme of this week's show is really cheesy. It's new beginnings, because we've got a new cohort of freshers and a new team at Fresh Air and a new me doing a new art show and a whole new way of life that is living online, basically. So just for fun, what new thing have you tried in 2020 that you wouldn't have tried if not for the lockdown?
I'm very, very late to the party on it. But 2020 has been the year that I've actually invested in proper plants and started caring about them. Because I did have one in first year from IKEA, and the only nutrition it got, and I'm not sure if this is okay to say for radio, but I vomited in it, in that plant pot.
Thanks for your honesty.
A slightly terrifying thing to admit on radio, but it contextualises quite well. And in lockdown, I think having perhaps a bit of a more stable routine has actually been really, really conducive to keeping plants alive and looking after them. But for me, yeah, being a little bit more green-fingered is definitely something I've taken up.
Yeah, good to have some responsibilities while you're trapped at home as well.
Yeah.
What about the other two? Anything new to tell us?
Well, I would say that I'm trying a new flat, basically.
Oh.
Yeah, because I'm staying in Edinburgh for another year. Me and my flatmate sort of thought we probably should find a flat that's COVID-proof in the sense of like lockdown good. So what we've got is a flat with actually some usable space inside, which is amazing. We have sort of upgraded slightly, I feel like, because when you move into a second year student flat and you sort of just stay there. That's what we did for 3 years. So we were like, it's probably time. Lockdown taught us that we needed a little bit more space. So yeah, that's what we've done. It's quite a boring one, really, and I feel like I've sort of aged up about 20 years, but we did a big IKEA trip and bought like loads of new things for it, and I'm like, well, here we are sort of making the pad ready for the next
the pad.
Oh god, I don't want to call it that, but I think it might be, it's either the pad or the retirement home. We're not sure yet.
Not sure which age bracket.
Yeah.
Okay, so Erin has plants, Cam has his new pad, and Al, what have you done in 2020?
Mine's a lot less exciting. I just feel like I've been in a fever dream for about 6 months and I can't really remember what I've done.
What a mood, yeah.
But maybe one thing, it's less exciting. I've just started going on walks, just walking everywhere. Blackford Hill,
Nowland
nice. Meadows, sometimes go out a bit further, Pentlands, beaches. I don't know, it's keeping me sane, I think, just when you get so cooped up. Looking at your screen all day and you just need to remember that the outside world does exist.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going for a walk in the Pentlands for the first time ever. Aww. This weekend as well. There's my new thing as well, is going for a walk in the Pentlands.
Ooh, exciting.
Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on. I'm really looking forward to a new semester of chatting with you guys over Zoom and having you on the show. Just before you go, can you tell us where we can find the latest edition of The Student?
The latest print edition is in Teviot, Potteray, Tesco's Nicholson Street, the library and the King's Buildings, so if you want to get an actual print edition. And then, of course, we have our lovely new website, which is online now. So
I've seen. It's beautiful. You should definitely check out the website. unless you happen to find yourself in a uni building sometime in the next semester, in which case definitely do pick up a print edition, but if not, the website is now gorgeous and very accessible, so do check it out. Next up, we'll hear from Finn Ross Russell and Alice Peelan from Island Life Productions about a new podcast venture called Welcome to the Quids Inn. Before that though, let's have some music. As I said, the theme of this episode is new beginnings, so we'll start off with Rome Wasn't Built in a Day by Morcheeba, to remind all of you who are starting new here that you've got plenty of time to work out who you are and what you want to be.
You and me were meant to be walking free in harmony. One fine day we'll fly away. Don't you know that Rome wasn't built in a day? Hey, hey, hey.
So if you're listening live, you'll have just heard Rome Wasn't Built in a Day by Morcheeba. Now I'm joined in the studio by some of the team from Edinburgh-based theatre company Island Life Productions to talk about their new podcast, Welcome to the Quids Inn. Would the two of you like to introduce yourselves?
Hello, my name's Alice, and I play Anna in Welcome to the Quids Inn.
Hi, I'm Finn. I'm co-founder of Island Life Productions and also the director of Welcome to the Quids Inn.
Lovely. Let's get going. Could you tell us a little bit about Welcome to the Quids Inn and what should prospective listeners expect to hear the first time they click play?
Do you want to take part one?
Yeah, of course. So Welcome to the Quids Inn is about five young people who have all started working at an Edinburgh branch hotel. And it's kind of how they found themselves to work here, kind of like their background experiences and kind of what their dream jobs are. Every episode kind of focuses on one character and kind of issues that they've come across in their day-to-day job and kind of their background. And I think it's kind of great for listeners because it kind of reflects on personal issues that maybe listeners are having, or things that, like, for example, one's about a school leaver and she's a bit unsure about what to do with her life afterwards, and she kind of seeks advice from someone older. One's about a young mum kind of tackling work life and being a mum. One's about kind of someone who's not from the UK, living in the UK, experiencing kind of how that is, kind of hardships with that. Yeah, so it's all just kind of different experiences, and there's a lot of like comedy elements in it, and it's kind of how these people interact with each other on a day-to-day basis, really. Yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult actually, because when I try and tell people what the show actually is, I'm so tempted to say radio drama, but that kind of disguises the fact that actually it's quite funny.
Yeah.
And then when I try and say, oh, it's a fiction podcasty comedy radio thing, they just get really confused.
Yeah.
So what is the background of this project? Finn, you're the director. So what inspired the story and why did you choose to do it in a podcast format?
Well, I've wanted to do a radio sort of series for a while, ever since I was at university. I think as anybody who works in theatre, I mean, just because of how expensive theatre can be to put on, you're constantly thinking what are different formats and new things and ideas that you want to try. Particularly in a time like now when podcasts are becoming so much more trendier and people are getting so much more interested in what these are and how they work and how it's structured. And so when I came back up to Edinburgh in sort of September of last year, I knew that I wanted to put this project together. I knew I wanted to get some funding in order to do it and pay everybody who does it, because as we discussed on a previous episode of the Lockdown Show, it was really important for Island Life Productions and for the company that we paid everybody who worked on the project so that the work was valued as something that was professional. And Welcome to the Quids Inn was born weirdly in a Edinburgh branch of a chain of budget hotels, because I used to work as a night shift receptionist at the Travel Lodge on Learmonth Terrace, working sort of 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. Night shifts.
Oof.
And what I found in the midst of doing all of these and sort of having this weird alter existence sort of at night while everyone else was sleeping was the extent to which the people who you meet, both the customers and the people who work there, are just such fascinating people. And they never dreamed of working for Travelodge. They never dreamed that their lives would be spent, you know, working for this hotel. But for one reason or another, they all were, and they all had their own stories, and they all ended up coming to the same place. And I thought, well, this would be a really great opportunity to showcase some of those people, showcase some of those stories, showcase some of the things that, like, you naturally get up to in the hotel when, I guess, a guest doesn't necessarily see, because they just go up to their room and that's just sort of it and that's their experience. But also something that showcased the fact that as young people today, it's a very precarious job world that we're moving into. I mean, Now even more so because of COVID, but to a certain extent, when you're going into a particularly competitive field, the arts being one of them, law being another one, you know, journalism, like whatever your field is that you really want to pursue, odds are you're not going to really be able to get your foot in the door. And so odds are you're going to need to take a job like this. And it's interesting to see in that sort of midpoint, who are all the other people alongside you who also happen to find themselves at that midpoint for one reason or another. So yeah, that's how Welcome to the Quids Inn was born. And yeah, I think the thing is, because we've had such an amazing teamwork on the project, everybody's just sort of ran with it and made it even more amazing than it could have been expected to be.
Oh, that's lovely. So it's kind of based on your experiences. And would you say the characters are based on the people that you worked with and the people that you met?
Not necessarily. I mean, so this is a big thing to know. Even though these were my experiences a lot of the time, I knew from a very early stage I didn't want to write it, because I knew that if I wrote it, I would just put all of literally my experiences straight onto the page.
Yeah, you kind of insert yourself into the narrative.
Yeah, and what I wanted to do was I wanted that vibe and that energy and that sort of vague perspective to come through. Mm-hmm. But I wanted it to come through the eyes and the words of somebody who was still a bit distant from it, who was still a bit apart from it, who could look at it in the context of, oh, actually, what is a good story? And then we could work together to sort of craft something nice. So Ailey McKinnon is our lovely writer. She put the scripts together. And the characters, well, to a certain extent, the characters and the narratives and the things that happen are things that would very realistically happen in a position like that. But they're also like, I can't go through the script and go, that happened, that happened, that happened. There is the occasional bit, which, you know, if ever anybody wants to say, oh, actually, did this happen? As some people have over the first few episodes, I can say, yes, actually, that is true. I can't directly claim that it's a sort of verbatim account because we don't want it to be a verbatim account.
No, exactly. You're using fiction to express this, you know, these ideas about young people and the lives they lead, and you don't necessarily want to use real life experiences because that doesn't make for such a good allegory of what you're actually talking about.
Exactly.
I understand that. So how does it feel producing this kind of theatrical content during the pandemic? I know you started recording back in March, meaning that you actually had to finish in a way that maybe you didn't really expect over Zoom. How have you felt about producing theatre at this time, radio theatre? And do you think that it's possible to produce something equally as amazing online as it is offline?
I think we can all agree it's been a bit odd. This year's kind of thrown everyone on a different path, and it's just kind of, if anything, it's shown, especially at the Creative Arts, how adaptable we can be to change. I think at first, you know, it's how are we going to do this? It's like a lot of people to get together in one room. But I think, you know, doing where you can just meet up with a few people in a house when you're able to, or I like that we did the last episode with Zoom, because I think if you're doing anything these days, you can't really ignore that there is a pandemic. I think it's important to talk about, because I think, you know, it's one of those things, like, it has been a bit of a awful year, and if we can talk about it and go with it and joke about it while we do it, I think that's kind of a way forward of getting through it and continue to create things. And I think because we've been so adaptable by doing stuff online or finding ways to socially distance, it's just helped people with that creativity, because it's been so difficult. Things just, you know, not being able to go to theatre, not even go to the cinema for a long time. It's just kind of everything was just shut down so quickly. So I think finding ways to do things differently has definitely helped and shown that it is still possible to create creative content. You just have to go about it a bit differently.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, it's exactly what we're doing here. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'd like to think that you can create something equally as good.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I also think, right, that even before the pandemic hit, this was coming in a way. Like, I've already mentioned how expensive theatre is to put on when you take into account paying all the actors and paying the venue and paying for the rehearsal space and bringing all those things into account. But there's also a sense to which I think the theatre industry in the UK in general can feel very rigid. It can feel very, oh, it has to be on a stage. It has to be with all these people sitting in front of it. You all have to stand up and clap at the end. And that's, you know, and that's just sort of an expected part of the way that things work. Whereas I think particularly now that the pandemic has hit, there is more of an expectation that maybe theatres will need to embrace digital a little bit more, and that sort of setting up a video camera in front of the stage isn't enough to say this is digital content. That, you know, we're seeing with the Traverse putting together Traverse 3 at the moment, the extent to which theatres are quickly needing to say, right, what film kind of content can we get in? What sort of podcasty content can we get in? And I think that's the direction that a lot more companies are going to go in, is just saying, actually, we need to acknowledge that if we just exist as something that's live and in that place, you know, we're going to die on our ass fairly quickly.
Yeah.
And then also to talk sort of in reflection to what Alice was saying about the sort of the pandemic going on at the moment and the acknowledging it was going on. I watched the pandemic special that South Park put together the other day, and I'm not a massive South Park fan, but I thought, no, I'll give this a go. And it was just nice to experience something and observe something that acknowledged what was actually going on in the world. Because too often, I feel like over lockdown and even sort of now kind of time, we're watching things that just don't reflect the society that we live in. And if there's one thing I learned, both from the experience of doing this and the experience of watching that one episode of South Park, it's that people want things that reflect the world that we're living in. And they want content that is truthful and that is honest, which is why if we were ever going to continue Quids In and make a season two, we would do so after the point at which we knew what had happened with the pandemic and its effects. And we knew the sort of realities that people were going through so that we knew what stories we should be telling.
Interesting. I think there's a tradition of using theatre, or not just theatre, just arts in generally, so television, film, theatre, even music, to escape everyday life. And so a lot of the things we see are, you know, are very romanticised and nothing at all like real life. But I hear what you're saying when you say you want something that reflects the situation we find ourselves in, because actually at this kind of time of collective trauma, it's quite nice to consume media that understands, feels like it understands how we feel. And I think it's really interesting about what you were saying about breaking down barriers and actually using COVID as a vehicle to create something different from what we expect to see. I'd be very excited to see a season two of Quids In that dealt with those topics. So, so kind of steering back towards Quids In, Alice, I was wondering what one of the best moments you had recording the series was, or like a really funny moment that you could share with us.
I suppose for me, playing Anna, she's the youngest in the group. And ironically, I'm one of the oldest in the group. I'm only 26, so I don't know. So I feel very old. And Anna, is quite young, and she's quite, the way she approaches things is very matter of fact. And she doesn't really, well, she cares what other people think in a way, but not to the point that, you know, she's going to stop being herself. And I think what Anna likes to do a lot is eat. So she doesn't care where she's eating. She'll just have her breakfast halfway through reception. There'll be guests coming and she's munching away. And I think that was quite fun to record, because it's kind of, I've never had to eat and talk and record at the same time without, you know, trying to spit the food out everywhere. So, yeah, that was very fun. And I also got fed. So that's always a plus.
Oh, do you not have to provide your own food?
Yeah, exactly. It was great. And I really enjoyed the kind of, when making all the sound effect noise, just like clinking bowls and stirring tea, but you know, really mundane things, but it's very serious now. We have to seriously clink this bowl and stir the tea. But no, those were very fun to film. And yeah, just hope I didn't leave too many crumbs on Finn's table when I left. But yeah.
Or on the microphone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, that's interesting, actually, the importance of sound effects in a radio series.
Yeah,
I suppose something that, unless you've done a lot of radio acting before, you're not very familiar with.
Exactly, and I wasn't very familiar with it, so it was really interesting kind of seeing the kind of behind the scenes, if it were. Yeah
absolutely. It's a very different thing, and I think people often forget that doing radio is very, very different from doing like TV acting.
Exactly,
or stage
yeah.
acting. Is there anything else you'd like to add about the show to convince us that we should go seek out your podcast?
Well, yeah, I think it's just, it was really fun to film, and I think you can probably hear that when you listen to it. Yeah, and you know, it's on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, so it's pretty easy to get to and it's easy to access. So yeah, I think it's just a really fun listen, and it's got some serious aspects, but a lot of it is kind of, you know, mixed with comedy, and I think that's kind of what a lot of people need right now is comedy. So I definitely listen to it. It's worth a listen. So they're only half an hour long episodes-ish, so you know, yeah.
Nice. Something a little bit lighthearted in these different times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. The genre I've been using to try and just about describe what it does is, I'd say, imagine Glee, but without the singing. But, you know, that same sort of comedy sewn in with drama, sewn in with young people finding their way and expressing their identities and interacting with each other. And yeah, as Alice was just saying, it's just a load of fun. And in these dark times, we just need something to smile about and giggle about. And I definitely think that what we've created is definitely a testament to that.
Definitely.
Brilliant. Well, I'm very excited to hear episode 2, and I'm sure these guys will be very excited to hear episode 1 in a minute. I've just been joined by Finn Ross-Russell and Alice Peelan from Island Life Productions, and if you stay tuned, you'll hear a segment from the first episode of Welcome to the Quids Inn. Before that, we'll hear Talking About a Revolution by Tracy Chapman.
Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment line. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Poor people gonna rise up and get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's theirs. Don't you know you better run, run, run. Talking about a revolution. Yes, finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. Oh no. Talking about a revolution. Oh, while they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. And finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. Yes, finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. Oh no. Talking about a revolution. Oh no. Talking about a revolution.
That was Talking About a Revolution by Tracy Chapman. Hope you enjoyed it. In the next segment of the show, the storytelling segment, we'll hear this week an excerpt from the podcast that Finn, Alice and I were just talking about, Welcome to the Quids Inn. This is an excerpt from episode 1, but make sure that if you enjoy it, you go check them out on Spotify or Apple Podcasts to hear the rest of the series. Enjoy!
Congratulations! Following your application, we're pleased to invite you to a selection day, which is being held at Edinburgh Newington Quids Inn this Saturday. The selection day will run from 11:30 a.m. till noon. You'll need to arrive at least 10 minutes before the day starts. Please go to the reception first and let Michael know you've arrived. The selection day may include a tour of the hotel, an icebreaker or group exercise, and an interview. These are designed to assess your suitability for the role, as well as giving you the opportunity to meet our hotel team. Important: bring evidence of your eligibility to work in the UK to the interview. If you have an up-to-date CV, please bring a copy with you to the selection day. We look forward to meeting you. Good luck!
Sorry, my name is Anna. I'm looking for Michael.
Oh, yeah. He said he's setting up the room right now.
So, should I just wait here?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
You're here for the selection day too?
Mm-hmm.
But you're sitting behind the reception desk.
My feet were kind of sore. And Michael told me to wait here. There was another dude who was here, but he went to the bathroom. I think it means I got the job, right?
Right. Is anyone else here yet? Only I thought I was running late.
Oh, yeah. The others are all standing over there.
And you chose not to stand with them because...
Feet.
Cool, right. Well, I'm just gonna, you know, head over to where everyone else is then.
I'm Murray, by the way.
Cool, I'm Anna.
Yeah, I know. You said that already.
Right. Bye.
So, you've never lived anywhere but Edinburgh?
Well, I've moved around Edinburgh, like Westerhales, Castorfin, Dalkeith. I was in Porty for a bit.
Porty?
Portobello, you know, with the beach.
Ah, I see in Dalkeith.
You're going to bus for this job?
It only takes around half an hour.
Grim. My flat is like 10 minutes walk from here, tops. I mean, that's why I applied. No travel costs.
Hi there. Sorry, you guys here for the selection day?
Yeah, you know it was supposed to start 10 minutes ago, right?
I was just running a bit late.
Not the best first impression.
Lucky this Michael dude's running late too, huh?
Yeah, I'm not getting the best first impression of his management skills either.
Have you worked in a hotel before?
God, no. I mean, like, there are some basic things you can do as a manager, and being on time is one of them.
Yeah, shows like a disrespect for your staff. We were asked to be here 10 minutes early, and everyone was. Well, apart from Anna. It just says they think our time isn't worth anything.
My time is worth at least £8.21 an hour.
But you're not being paid for this interview, and we've been waiting for at least 15 minutes. Bar Anna, of course.
Thanks, again.
Hey, guys.
Fuck! Reception guy, don't sneak up on me like that!
My name is Murray, but okay. Michael said he's ready for us now, and I should bring you over.
Oh, good. Where did we go?
Finally!
Did you hear about the booklet?
Welcome. Apologies for the delay, but well, you know how things are. My name's Michael, and I'm the senior manager for the Quids Inn here in Newington. I'm responsible for the overseeing of the operations of our little establishment, making sure the beds are clean, the food is hot, and most importantly, that our guests are happy. I rely heavily on my team of receptionists who assist me in the delegation of duties, and that is where you lot come in. You've all made it through the online application stage to be new receptionists here at the Quids Inn. It is an exciting time here. We're expanding our team in advance of the Edinburgh Fringe rush. I'm sure we all know what the Fringe is like. Can't move anywhere in town. Tourists and artists everywhere.
You're telling me.
But it is what we in the hotel business like to hear. We are in a prime position, just 20 minutes walk from the old town, which means it is all go. During the month of August, Edinburgh doesn't sleep. And so we will be needing a strong team to hold through our night shifts. As receptionists, you will be the face of the hotel and have to be ready to respond to the questions and requests of all our hotel guests. Obviously, your main jobs will be manning the phones and ensuring the smooth check-in and check-out of our guests, but we expect our staff to be up to the challenge of any task. As our receptionists, there are 3 different shifts you could be working. The morning shift, which is from 7 a.m. until 3 p.m. This is the one I am usually on shift for, and what you would be doing right now. We have to check in on the kitchen crew and make sure breakfast runs smoothly, handle all the checkouts for the day, and sometimes lend a hand with housekeeping if things are particularly rushed. We consider ourselves a team here at Quids Inn, and any time you don't have a job to do, you should go and offer your help to your co-workers. Then there is the afternoon shift, which runs from 3 p.m. till 11, where you handle the check-ins and any issues the guests may be having with settling in. This often requires doing a quick room check around the hotel to make sure that no tasks have been forgotten and that all rooms are up to standard. This and any administrative tasks or queries that present themselves to you at the desk. And then there is everybody's favourite, the night shift. These go from 11 p.m. until 7 in the morning, when the morning shift takes over. Most of the other hotel staff will have gone home for the night, so it's your responsibility to oversee the hotel until morning. This can be late business check-ins or even some late room requests, where for whatever reason, you can have someone turn up at 4 a.m. wanting a room. Kitchen staff will have gone home, so if someone wants food or a drink, that's on you. We have a bar and a microwave that can come in handy in such situations. And also, during the night shift, this is our chance to catch up on any admin we miss during the day. Not to forget handing over all the laundry to our industrial cleaner. And that's the job. Hope I haven't scared you, but it's good to know what you're getting yourself into. Any questions?
It's a bit more intense than I thought it would be. Just thought I'd be sitting behind the desk.
Sorry, so you want us to help with the cleaning?
Well, sometimes in the morning the housekeeping team could use a hand. It's not a huge part of the job, but I think it's good. Gives you an idea of what is going on behind the scenes when you're at the desk.
Will we get training on all this stuff, or is it more learning on the job?
Don't worry, it's a bit of both. You'll be surprised how quickly you pick things up. Any other burning questions? Well, in that case, how about a little icebreaker to get us all familiar with each other?
God, I can't stand these.
So, how about two truths and a lie? Bit more interesting than usual, name, age, and an interesting fact. Hey, Murray, why don't you go first?
Okay. So, my name is Murray, I'm 23, and I'm here for the receptionist interview.
Oh, no, Murray. I said we weren't doing the name, age, and fact. You're supposed to say two things that are true about yourself, and one thing that isn't.
I know, that's what I did. I'm not 23. I'm only 22.
It was a lie.
Ah, right. Moving on. How about you?
Okay, so I'm Aishal. My three things are... Oh gosh, well, I'm a vegan. I study social anthropology at university. And I've got over 8,000 followers on Instagram.
I think the vegan fact is true, because vegans always have to let everyone know.
If the Instagram thing's true, then I'll be impressed. I've got like 200.
So, what are you lot deciding as a group?
She'll be studying something else at uni. Why would she say the other two if they're a lie? It would just be embarrassing if she's not got many Insta followers, right?
Okay. I don't even know what social anthropology is.
Yeah, I agree. We'll say that the uni degree is a lie.
Wrong. I do study social anthropology, which is like the study of people. And I have 8,247 followers on Instagram at last check.
No, it was a brag.
Yeah, not a vegan. That was the lie. I do eat vegan most of the time, though, but when I'm at home, I eat halal with my parents.
There we go. Thank you, Aishal. Next.
Hello, I'm Thomas. I'm from Lithuania and I'm 25. I have 2 dogs, 7 grandparents, and only 9 toes.
That was more than 3 facts.
How do you only have 9 toes?
No questions. You have to guess.
How can someone have 7 grandparents?
Well, he could have a stepmom or dad, and he calls their parents his grandparents too.
That's still only 6. There is another rogue grandparent unaccounted for.
Can you have adopted grandparents?
The toes is a lie.
Hey, we didn't agree on that.
Correct. I have all 10 toes.
All right.
So, what's the explanation then?
Oh, I have 2 dogs. One is a Jack Russell called Agrastus, and the other is a pug called Niole. I have pictures.
No, the grandparents.
Oh, yes, well, you were right. My mother married, and I have a stepfather. His parents are my grandparents too, ever since I was little. And my father remarried also, but my stepmother's father died before I met him, so I only have 7 grandparents.
Huh. Fair enough.
What I really want to know is what this has got to do with working in a hotel.
What's that, Lauren? Are you wanting to go next?
I haven't thought of anything yet.
Oh, it's just something silly to settle us all in. This bit really doesn't matter. It's just a chance to get to know you all.
Okay. I've got a wee boy called Jamie. My favourite colour is purple. And I've never left the UK.
Thank you, Lauren.
She has a little boy. I saw a lock screen when she checked the time earlier.
Let's say purple is true as well, because you can get flights for like 10 quid, so I imagine you've been somewhere at some point.
Nope, I don't even have a passport.
Wow, so you've never been, like, anywhere?
I've been to London before, and like my family did holidays around Scotland when I was a kid. Just always said stuff on.
That is fair.
So what is your favourite colour?
What?
Well, if it's not purple.
Oh, yeah, I like blue.
Blue's cool.
Anna, your turn. Fittingly, you're last.
All right. Well, I just finished school. I've never seen a Marvel film the whole way through, and I'm a size 6 shoe.
She looks young, so the school thing could...
How could you not have watched a Marvel film the whole way through? There are so many of them. Like, I get it if maybe you didn't like, say, the Captain America films, but there's also, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy, and... Everyone liked Black Panther. I refuse to accept that that one is true.
It is. I'm actually size 3 in shoe.
What?!
Oh my god, that's tiny! And you're like 5'5". Do you feel like unbalanced?
You lot need to work on your teamwork. I didn't see a lot of discussion going on. Hopefully that has given you lot a chance to relax a bit. Now, I'm going to split you into groups and give you scenarios, and I want you to tell me what you would do. Often you will be working in pairs on reception, so make sure to communicate with each other. Thomas, if you go with Anna, and then if you three team up as well. So, Anna and Thomas, let's say that a customer comes to you at reception in the middle of the night shift to say that their shower won't stop dripping. What would you do?
Well, I think...
No, I'll give you two a bit of time to discuss it together. As for our other group, the fire alarm goes off. What are you doing? I'll give you a few minutes to discuss before sharing with the group.
So what does a receptionist do when the fire alarm goes off?
I don't know. Call the fire brigade?
I seriously hope that was a joke. That's what the fire alarm is for.
Well, she's the one who asked what to do. I'm just guessing.
Well, I think you'd have to be the one that makes sure everyone knows where the fire exits are and checks that everyone is out of the building. Like, we have the list of guests. It's not that hard.
Aye, just wait till it actually happens and we'll see if you find it's not that hard. What are you going to do if everyone goes off running in different directions before you check them off your list?
Or someone sleeps through it.
I highly doubt you can sleep through a fire alarm.
I have.
Sure.
So what? We're just going to say they'll check off all the guests as they exit the building to make sure they're all out.
Okay, so I can take notes. We have the situation that the tap won't stop dripping and it is nighttime. Is there an on-call plumber or mechanic?
Not a clue. I guess I'd find that out first. Or maybe go and look at the thing, see if I can fix it myself.
What if it's a guy? You would go into a hotel room with a guy?
Well, yeah. If I work in a hotel, I'm going to have to go into the rooms with guys. It's just to have a look at his shower.
You trust very much. I would go instead, and you keep an eye on the reception.
Sure. If there are two of us in this situation, I'd stay and look up the plumber thing, while you check out and see if you can't fix it yourself. Unless it's a woman, in which case she might be more comfortable with me.
Touché. And if we can fix or get a plumber, then see if there's a spare room to move them into until the shower's fixed.
Yeah, leave a note for whoever was on the morning shift so they could find a solution.
I like it. High five.
Oh, that sounds like some good teamwork. I've been listening in on your discussions and I'm liking some of your solutions that I'm hearing. You all ready to share your ideas? Okay, Anna and Thomas. I'll be the guest, and you speak to me how you would if this was a real situation.
Oh, I thought we would just present what we discussed.
Excuse me, but the shower in my ensuite won't stop running and I can't sleep.
Oh, sorry.
Have you tried turning the handle in the shower? Sometimes these things just need a wiggle.
Of course I've tried fixing it myself, and I got my pajamas all soaked in doing so. Aren't you people paid to do something?
People can be quite difficult when things aren't working, especially when it's nighttime. You'll need to be able to handle some irritated customers. That was a good suggestion, though. Keep going.
Okay.
I'll just check to see if we have any on-call plumbers or mechanics that could come and have a look.
We don't. Good idea, though. Look, it's 4 a.m. I just want to go to sleep.
Okay. Well, I could come up to your room and check to see if there's anything I can do to fix it. And if it isn't too loud, you could perhaps try closing the bathroom door, and we could offer some complimentary earplugs.
Your solution is to close the door? Just let it keep drip, drip, dripping away while I...
Maybe while she's helping you, I'll look to see if there are any other free rooms we could move you into if we can find any other solution.
But all of my things are already unpacked in my room. You want me to move out of my room at 4 a.m. I have a meeting in the morning.
Your things can stay in your room, and we will give you keys to both rooms, so you can sleep in one room and get ready in the other.
The manager is normally in on the morning shift. We can leave a note for him so he can maybe do something more to help you.
Oh, now that was good, guys. You handled the situation well and didn't get flustered by a tricky customer. Couldn't have done better myself. What do you guys think?
I agree. I would have done the same. Gone and checked out the situation myself and done what I could to calm the customer down.
Do we have complimentary earplugs?
We do, actually. Yeah, they're on the guest's bed when they arrive, along with the towels. Pretty nifty.
Sorry, Michael. Sorry. Can I go to the bathroom?
Oh, yes, of course. My apologies. I should have given you all the tour first so you know where the toilets are.
It's all right. I can find it.
No. Leave your stuff here, everyone, and I'll take you on a quick tour. Let's go.
So, he doesn't want to hear our answer, or...?
That was the first half of the first episode of Welcome to the Quids Inn. Just to remind you, if you've just joined us, you are listening to The Art Show on Fresh Air. And if you want to hear the next half of that episode, make sure to tune in again next Thursday at 3 p.m, where we'll be airing the last 15 minutes. If you have enjoyed Welcome to the Quids Inn, make sure to check out Island Life Productions' Patreon page, which is patreon.com/islandlifeproductions, to help support the work that they do. Next up, we'll have the poem of the week to close the show. But before that, let's hear Good Times by Aretha Franklin. Okay, that was Good Times by Aretha. I'd be surprised if you didn't recognise it. In this final segment of the show, we'll be reading a poem, the poem of the week, in order to set your brain in poetry mode for the next week. This week, the poem is When You Have Forgotten Sunday, The Love Story by Gwendolyn Brooks. And when you have forgotten the bright bedclothes on a Wednesday and a Saturday, and most especially when you have forgotten Sunday, when you have forgotten Sunday halves in bed or me sitting on the front room radiator in the limping afternoon, looking off down the long street to nowhere,
hugged by my plain old wrapper of no expectation and nothing I have to do, and I'm happy why. And if Monday never had to come, when you have forgotten that, I say, and how you swore if somebody beeped the bell, and how my heart played hopscotch if the telephone rang, and how we finally went into Sunday dinner, that is to say, went across the front room floor to the ink-spotted table in the southwest corner to Sunday dinner, which was always chicken and noodles or chicken and rice and salad and rye bread and tea and chocolate chip cookies. I say, when you have forgotten that, when you have forgotten my little presentiment that the war would be over before they got to you, and how we finally undressed and whipped out the light and flowed into bed and lay loose-limbed for a moment in the weekend. Bright bedclothes, then gently folded into each other. When you have, I say, forgotten all that, then you may tell, then I may believe, you have forgotten me as well. I just think it's a beautiful poem. I think it's lovely, and I think in this episode, whose theme is new beginnings for all of those new people starting at the university, or trying new things, or starting a new way of life, I think it's important to remember your past, but important not to let it consume you. And on that note, I'll leave you with our final song, which is very fittingly Never Forget You by The Noisettes. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Fresh Air Arts Show this week. Remember to tune in again next week, Thursday at 3 p.m, or catch up with old episodes on our website, freshair.radio. See you next time.
What you drinking? Rum or whiskey? Now won't you have a with me? I'm sorry I'm a little late. I got your message, by the way. I'm calling in sick today.